Three bicyclists were killed within 24 hours in the San Francisco area last month when they were struck by motor vehicles. In Kalamazoo, Michigan, five cyclists lost their lives when a man, now accused of drugged driving, struck them on June 7th. According to the Pedestrian and Bicycle Information Center, 726 people were killed when their bikes were struck by vehicles during 2014. This is a major increase from 3 years earlier when 682 cyclists died. A year ago, a Bloomington man was struck by a vehicle while riding his bike on a rural road near Hudson, suffering major injuries. Dean Davis is a State Farm attorney who survived that incident and joins us today to talk about bicycle-vehicle interaction. Thanks for being here.
Good to be here. Thanks.
Prior to your accident a year ago, how much bicycling did you do?
I'd been cycling pretty actively for 3 years. I mean, like just about anybody else. I grew up around here, and as a kid around Bloomington Normal, you grow up on your bike.
Right. You always ride your bike to the store or wherever.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
And by frequently, you mean by regularly you were competitive or you just rode a lot? Or what do you mean by?
I had gotten my first bike about three and a half years earlier, what's called a road bike. So I had gotten that, and I would go on longer rides. It started out my wife and I would go on bike rides on the Constitution Trail, but leisurely rides. And then I started riding with other people from work and friends that rode longer distances, and I started doing that. So I would go out two or three times a week.
So you rode as a kid and kind of developed this as an avocation as an adult.
Right.
Now, since the accident happened a year ago, you have ridden on your bicycle just a few times. Tell us about why that is.
Well, there's a few reasons, I suppose. Number one was I was really restricted in my physical activities for many months thereafter, and so I just physically couldn't, and by doctor's orders was asked to restrict those activities. So I probably didn't get back onto my bike until maybe April or May of this year. That was the first time, and I've been on it like it's a really single digit. I've been on it six times since my accident 1 year ago today.
So it's hard for you to do that, I take it. I mean, it's mentally and maybe emotionally challenging for you to just hop on that bike and take off?
Yeah, it depends on what kind of riding I'm going to be doing. But there's never been a time that I hop on my bike those six times where I'm not thinking about where the cars are and what they're going to do.
And that's it. And that's in contrast to before the incident occurred?
Correct. I mean, I was aware of trying to be aware of traffic and traffic flow and speeds of vehicles, and I never assumed that a motorist would see me. I always tried to be very safe.
Had you had any past encounters with vehicles on the road especially during the last 3 years or so when you've been an avid cyclist?
No, I really hadn't. And I think for that reason, I just wasn't, I certainly didn't have the level of wariness that I do now, but I hadn't had any problems with any motorists, and I would go for longer rides, sometimes with other cyclists, sometimes alone. It's different now getting on the bike.
There seems to be an outbreak of more serious incidents. We talked about the situation in Kalamazoo, Michigan a month ago, and then there was San Francisco, where within 24 hours there were two separate instances where people died from car-bike accidents. What do you think is going on here? Is this some sort of a war against cyclists, or what's happening?
You know, others could probably answer that better than me, but I think there are more cyclists. More people going out and opting not to take motor vehicles and riding recreationally. It's also getting more media attention when there are these tragic accidents. And I think of left off your list was the young couple weeks ago from Morris, Illinois, husband and wife who tragically were killed.
You mentioned the media attention. And I know in social media, when these things happen, there tends to be a rapid outcry, as there usually is when news events occur. It almost seems to be some sort of prosecution of the victim almost. I mean, you hear comments like, well, he wasn't wearing a bright enough color, or she didn't signal properly, or something like that.
Right. Well, every circumstance, every situation has to be different. It usually is. I know that some of the reactions to these accidents, sometimes if you hear some of the reactions that are on both sides of the fence, sometimes they can be fairly alarming.
People may think that when a vehicle hits a bicyclist or a group of bicyclists, particularly what happened in Kalamazoo, Michigan, where the man is now being charged with drugged driving, obviously you've got a big machine with usually thousands of pounds of steel going after something much smaller. Somebody may see there's a distinct advantage to the driver there, but what about the bicyclists? What kind of responsibility do they have in situations where they're trying to share the road with basically a vehicle that road was designed and built for, a lot of people would say?
Right, right. Well, cyclists have a legal right to be on the road, first of all. And secondly, I think we need to do a better job of educating both motorists as well as cyclists about the need to comply with the rules and regulations of the road. They need to be able to share the road together peacefully and without one antagonizing the other.
I see a lot of motorists yielding and willing to share the road with the people who are on bicycles. Is this more of a problem? Of course, I do most of my driving within Bloomington Normal, but is this a problem in the rural areas? Your mishap occurred out in the rural areas, and a lot of these high-profile cases we're hearing about are on roads that are out in the country. Is that more of a problem because people out there are dealing with more cyclists who are doing training, that sort of thing?
Well, I know that cyclists who are competitive and want to get into longer training rides, they necessarily need to use the county roads. And I think the frequency of people moving into cycling and finding it an attractive sport that's good for them, it's good for their health physically and mentally. They find this the sport that's forgiving on the joints, if you're a former runner like I used to be, and it's a very attractive activity. But all of the attention to some of these tragic events, I mean, they all have not been in rural areas. A great example is those intersection collisions in the San Francisco area. They can happen anywhere. And so it's important for motorists to be vigilant, and certainly critically important for the cyclists to be vigilant as well.
Vigilance is important, but of course, just obeying the rules of the road from both a motor vehicle standpoint and from a cyclist standpoint, a lot of motorists will tell you, and basically, I think we mix up our roles a lot here. Bicyclists are motorists frequently, and motorists are bicyclists, but from the viewpoint of someone who's driving a car, you get a lot of people who say that they see so many cyclists who are unattentive, they are careless, they're reckless. And does something like this fuel motorists' antagonistic behavior towards cyclists, do you think?
You know, again, I think I'd say other people are probably in a better position to opine what fuels that. But it's true. Most cyclists have at one time or another been operating motor vehicles and have had their own encounters, and vice versa. There's any number of cyclists that I know that have had encounters with motorists who weren't operating their vehicles safely. So everybody brings those experiences with them, and it's hard to not let those experiences cause you to have a bias one way or the other. It really is very true.
We've been talking a lot about cyclists who are using and sharing the road because that's where a lot of the vehicle, bicycle interaction has occurred. But what about someplace like the trail, like Constitution Trail, for example? What kind of duties do bicyclists have to make sure that they aren't running into pedestrians or something like that?
I think it's an interesting, timely question, too. Cyclists have those same obligations for safety and to follow the rules and kind of a trail etiquette, if you will. There's a lot of people on the trail, depending upon where you are and what time of day and that sort of thing. But there are people on there with, rightfully on there, with their pets, with their dogs, with their kids, maybe small kids on bikes.
On skateboards,
mm-hmm. on rollerblades. And it can be quite congested. And cyclists on the trail need to be critically aware of those people and the congestion, as well as the speed of their bikes as they go along.
If you're a competitive cyclist, you're doing your training, as we've talked about, out on the county roads. Really, the trail is not the place to be doing that, right? I mean, if you're going to go out on the trail on your bike, you need to consider yourself as a casual user of your bicycle that particular day, right?
You need to find a place that has less congestion, right? There's just so many varied users, and from a cycling... And I don't speak for all the cyclists, certainly, and had only been cycling for 3.5 years when this happened, but use the trail a lot. I use it, and I see the wide variety of people using and enjoying our great Constitution Trail. And it's too crowded for any kind of speed training or anything where your speed is considerably in excess of the flow of the traffic. And I would submit the flow of the traffic usually is would be joggers, runners, walkers, people with strollers, and small children. So I wouldn't think that would be the best place to train for competitive cycling events.
Do you consider yourself a cyclist today?
Yeah, I still do. I still do. I'm not at the point to say I'm a former cyclist, but I'm not sure if maybe I get an asterisk by my name, by even though I've just been on my bike 6 times. I hope to lose that wariness, because cycling, that was a great form of physical exercise for me. I've met some wonderful people through cycling, and I had mentioned that I used to run a lot, and I had run long distance, but that takes a pounding on your joints and your back and your hips. And so after I visited with some doctors about my condition, we all agreed that it was best to get out of long distance running and to find something else. And for me, eventually, that was cycling. And There's something about cycling that I don't know if you can remember the first bike you had, but I can remember mine. I was probably in first or second grade, and it was a red one, and there was nothing like the feeling once you learned how to ride that thing of, you know, going down the sidewalk or the street and feeling the wind in your face. So, yeah, I'm still a cyclist. I'm just not quite as actively pursuing it as I hope to eventually get back to that point.
Yeah, you do hope to ramp up a little bit, maybe to get back to where you were.
I sure hope to.
Dean Davis was seriously injured a year ago when he swerved to avoid colliding with a car that had suddenly stopped in front of him while biking on a rural road. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
You're more than welcome. Thanks for having me, Willis.
I'm Willis Kern.